Good morning. Happy Monday. It is B-Maz and Beamer with you. Just Joe Beamer today. Brian taking the day off. He took a trip to Rochester for a concert yesterday. I'm sure we'll hear about that tomorrow. In the meantime, you're stuck with me for the next 53 minutes. And let's have some fun getting you ready for David Bellavia at 10. Before we get into all of the stuff that I want to get into today, I was debating if I was going to go this direction, but you know what? What the heck? I see a lot of people on Twitter, you know, complaining about people complaining about the USA women's team, right? Some people celebrating that they lost. Now, let me tell you, I would never celebrate an American team losing. I will always root for a team that wears the flag on their jersey, right? You represent the United States. I might not agree with, you know, things that you say, things that you do, but you want to represent this country. I'm going to root for this country. But amazes me the amount of people who act surprised that people are upset by another person's politics. Like, are you living in 2023? And I challenge the people who are saying, oh my gosh, can you believe people are happy the U.S. women's team lost on the world stage? Well, let me ask you, if their politics were the other way around, say that the women's team was wearing Make America Great Again hats and shirts in their warm-ups. Well, you would be the same way. That's just the divisive, unfortunately, I'm not saying it's right, but it's the divisive politics landscape that we live in. And, you know, you have people that were outspoken, and they have every right to be outspoken. That's the beauty of this country. You have every right to be outspoken and to have your opinion. But people are going to tune you out because of it, right? There are people who tune me out because they don't like my politics. I get it. It's unfortunate. I wish everyone would listen. But that's just the reality of politics in 2023. And the people who are complaining about people complaining, you'd be the same one complaining. I mean, what's your opinion of Kid Rock, Jason Aldean, people who have, you know, more to the right political opinions? You probably tune them out. So I just think it's, you know, Bill Burr said, and I'm paraphrasing, but Bill Burr said, everyone, you know, everyone likes freedom of speech. Everyone likes someone's opinions until it's not your opinion. And I do tend to agree with people who say, hey, you have your right to, you know, let your voice be heard. But, you know, when I turn on a sporting event, when I watch a movie, I don't want politics shoved in my face, right? I want to escape the hysteria that is the political landscape. So I just think it's funny because the same people on Twitter over the weekend, they're the same ones that will complain about anyone supporting someone on the right. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm as an American, I'm disappointed that the United States of America is not moving on. But I can definitely understand people tuning out that team for their political statements. And again, if they voiced political statements that are more in line with my politics, I could still understand people tuning them out. That's just where we are. If you're going to make a political statement, half of the country is going to have a different opinion of you, and they're going to tune you out. So if you don't want that and you want everyone to love you, here's number one, not everyone's ever going to love you. People are always going to hate you. If you're in the spotlight, there's always going to be someone who hates you. Believe me, I know. But if you want to have a majority of people to love you, then maybe you just don't bring up politics. That's my opinion. That's my two cents. I thought I was just going to react to people on social media, and now we're going to move on to something else. The study that the state had requested, and you remember this, you had a few state senators requesting this, the governor. Well, it's finally out, and we are now on our third, quote, investigation into the Buffalo Blizzard of 22. This one requested by the state. They said a third-party investigation. It was 49 pages. It called for overall improvements in communication and coordination with future winter storms. Pretty much every investigation is pointing out some of the flaws of our elected leaders. And yes, the communication. Now, before I get to the point I want to make about communication. I want to ask you this question because we keep on seemingly going back to the same thing. Well, people need to be more, be more, for lack of a better term, responsible, right? If you know the storm is coming, don't go out. But I want to know, what would have worked in December? If we look back, what would have worked in December? We know what went wrong, but looking back, what could the state, county, city have done to have its citizens better prepared? Because these investigations are pointing out flaws, they make a few recommendations, but you, the people of Western New York, who watched this blizzard move in, who know the struggles we went through, what would have worked? What could have gone on differently? And I want to know from you. I want everyone in this audience to be honest for an hour. I want you to be honest most of the time, but I want you to be honest for the next hour. What were you doing Friday morning? When that storm moved in on December 23rd, what were you doing? Did you stay home? Did you go out and try to get that last Christmas gift? Did you go out and try to stock the fridge? What did you do the morning of the 23rd? 803-0930, star 930. And do you think putting a travel ban in earlier, do you think that would have done anything? I hear this suggestion of putting a ban in earlier. Guys, there was a ban put in at 9:30 on the 23rd. I went to Tops at 1 in the afternoon. The place was packed. You couldn't see the parking lot. The place was packed. So were people, you want to say put a ban in early? And believe me, I am the first one to want to criticize our elected officials. I'll be honest. Of course, that's what I'm looking for. It makes for good radio. I'm just going to be brutally honest. But the travel ban that went into effect didn't stop anyone. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it at 11:30 at Wegmans and at 1 o'clock at Tops. Both stores had plenty of people. Didn't have a lot of product left, but had plenty of people. If you look at my apartment building, there's a business in the lobby. That business had people waiting to be seen at 8 o'clock on the 23rd. So I want to know what could have been done for you to react differently. And be honest, what were you doing the morning of the 23rd? 803-0930, star 930. And what do you think of all these investigations? Because they put their, they tell you what happens, but just like anything in politics, as I stated in my opening monologue, and you know what, before I get to this, someone did want to comment on my opening monologue. I wasn't going to take calls, but Joe and Fredonia, you are the one call I'll take on it because you called in. Joe, you wanted to comment on how I started the show.
Yeah, good morning. Hope you have the start of a good week for you, like listening to you guys. You know what you do on your own ground, you know, your own country. You know what? The NFL did it and everything, but when you're outside this country and you represent, you have that flag on it, you know what? You have solidarity with your country and you show what you have to show is respect for your country. These people that decided to state their political views outside this country, if they don't realize how dysfunctional they make the United States look in front of the whole world, we are a laughing stock. And so when you say people are caught up and glad that they lost, well, nobody's really glad anybody loses, I guess. But when you give them this type of, showing how they act, I can see where they're coming from. You have to act a certain way when you represent this country, and so be it. And your other thing about your where I was during the storm, I like that's a good point. And I think there's a lot of stupidity around that can be shared by not just the politicians, but the people had adequate warning. And, there's no excuse for someone that doesn't believe in it. But, you know, our weather forecasters tend to overblow a lot of things, and people, they think, well, yeah, I don't think it'll be as bad as they say it is. You know how the weather people are. They exaggerate everything. So I think that's what I'd have to say about that. But keep up the good work.
Hey, Joe and Fredonia, 803-0930, star 930. And just to Joe's point, I mean, that when you are in another country representing the United States of America and you're not standing, you know, hand on your heart for the anthem, I do think that's a lot worse than, I mean, and again, I didn't like it when you had athletes here kneeling for the anthem. Of course, I made my points known. But when you do that on the national stage, you know, you're supposed to be representing this great country. You want to talk about the flaws you think we have? Do that in this country. But when you're, I think Joe said it, when you're out of this country, when you're representing us throughout the world, you should be proud to wear the red, white, and blue. And, you know, again, this is why so many people were turned off. Now, again, I'm not rooting against, I'll never root against the United States of America. I love the United States of America. But I can see why people are upset with the team and why people just tuned it out, right? I mean, and again, the people who are saying, I can't believe that you're rooting for America to lose, you would be doing the same thing if their politics were 180. So that was my point on that. 803-0930, star 930. What were you doing on December 23rd? Were you prepared? Did you go out early, 6, 7 o'clock? Oh, I'll be fine. Because there are people who went out at 9 or 10, thought they'd be fine and you know, got in the beginning of the storm. Also, what could have been done differently? These investigations are looking at what could have been done differently. What do you think could have been done differently? It also talks about communication. Every investigation that has been done on this blizzard has mentioned the communication between the county and the city. It's not something that's made up. And trying to make one investigation be a right-wing hit piece, the USA Today, really? As I said last week when I was filling in for Tom, the USA Today that hadn't ever supported a candidate for president until 2016 to support Hillary Clinton, they're doing a right-wing hit piece? Am I reading this right on social media? There's no secret that there was a communication problem between the county and the city, between other factions of government. And with our Tom Puckett on Friday, Mark Poloncarz, the county executive, and again, he's entitled to his opinion. I am glad that he responded to this investigation, right? Yeah, I cannot say, you know, call him out for not responding to one and then not applaud him for quickly responding to this one and giving our Tom Puckett the interview and giving WBEN a shout out for our coverage. I thought that was great. However, he talked about his communication with the city of Buffalo, and I want to play what he said to our Tom Puckett against things he said during the blizzard. So here's what he said to our Tom Puckett on Friday.
The USA Today one just looked at emails, and in the situation, we're making phone calls all the time. I spoke to the governor multiple times in a day. I spoke to the mayor of Buffalo multiple times in a day. I actually was looking at my phone records, and on December 24th, I called Mayor Brown at 4:59 in the morning. We again spoke at like 5:30 that morning. If you believe what was in the USA Today report, we never communicated with each other, which isn't the case, because what they were looking for in the USA Today report was direct emails between the mayor and I and direct emails between the governor and I. We weren't emailing each other. We were speaking to each other on the phone.
They were speaking to each other on the phone. Okay. Again, I wasn't on the phone calls. That's not what it sounded like in the middle of the blizzard. And I will never forget this comment I'm about to play, because this didn't just air on WBEN. This didn't just air on 2, 4, and 7. This aired on the nightly news for NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, MSNBC. The one time they actually all played the same clip. This aired nationally. And while we are struggling, we have you know, Western New Yorkers dying in their cars. We had the national media focused in on an issue that between the county executive and the mayor. I mean, that was the That was the story nationwide when the county executive said this. Now, again, you just heard his call, what he said to Tom Puckett, that he was on the phone with the mayor throughout the blizzard. And again, maybe he was. But maybe he should have kept this comment to one of those phone calls with the blizzard and with the mayor. Instead, this is what he said. Again, national TV picked up on this. It was played over and over again. My family, who lives nowhere close to Buffalo, knew that the county executive and the mayor were not seeing eye to eye because of this.
State and the county have come in and taken over operations. I know the mayor's not going to be happy to hear it, but we took over an entire segment, one third of the city of Buffalo, because we knew that we could get in there and clean it very quickly. The state is basically doing the same thing with equipment from other areas. I've already had discussions with my staff about what it would take for the county to take over all snow cleaning operations in the future. And now I've had that discussion with New York State as well, because I think it's apparent that it's time for it to happen, or at least a discussion on the future. Mayor's not gonna be happy to hear about it, but storm after storm after storm after storm, the city, unfortunately, is the last one to be opened, and that shouldn't be the case. It's embarrassing, to tell you the truth.
Now, if he was constantly on the phone with the mayor over and over again, couldn't he have just said that in the phone call and not announce that? I mean, if he was talking to the mayor and he thought it was embarrassing, in one of those many phone calls that he mentioned to Tom Puckett, wouldn't he have said it then on the phone call? Maybe address that the county and state have taken over and are helping the city out. I mean, that's the proper way to address it. But that sounded like a message to someone who he's not talking to, right? That's like if I said something on the air, you know, this guy behind the glass, he doesn't know what he's doing, instead of just texting Tanner, hey, what the hell are you doing? I mean, I wouldn't have had to say it on the air like that if I was in constant communication with Tanner, who's doing a great job, by the way, on the other side of the glass. So I just think that's interesting that he talks about all the phone calls, but says this. And then there's one more clip because he apologized to the mayor. Again, he apologized for what he said to the mayor. At the end of this clip, he sounds like he's apologizing to someone he has yet to talk to.
I believe that the mayor and I will have a conversation and we'll go into greater detail about a lot of those issues that I just brought up. But I did want to apologize to the community because the focus needs to be on, and I wanted to apologize to the men and women of the Department of Public Works for the City of Buffalo who have been working their butts off in just terrible conditions. But I want people to understand that our focus is on recovery and moving forward. And the conversations I have with the mayor will be conversations between us. And we'll go from there.
Will be. Again, I'm going to have a chance to apologize to the. It sounds like he's saying one thing to Tom Puckett, but during the blizzard, this does not sound like someone who was in constant communication with the mayor. And again, for three separate investigations, to say communication is the issue. You know, if it were me, and I know I'm different than a lot of people, I admit my mistakes. I admit when I screw up. I'm the first one to take the blame. That's just me. I don't try to run away from anything because at the end, running away actually makes it a lot worse. The fact that we're not just getting, yes, you know what? We need to work on our communication. Three investigations have said that now. Yes, we need to work on our communication with the city, with the state, with the federal response. And I'm not saying that Mark Poloncarz is, you know, the only elected official in the wrong. I think the governor, the mayor, and the county executive all have lessons to learn from this blizzard. I don't think anyone's left out from who needs to learn a lesson from this blizzard. 803-0930, star 930, another investigation. What have you learned from these three investigations? What would you like to see differently? And let's be honest, what were you doing the morning of the 23rd before the blizzard moved into Buffalo? And what would you have done differently if they announced a ban at 8 o'clock in the morning? Would that have changed your morning? It didn't close stores. Does the government need to move in and close businesses when a storm like this is moving in? They did it for COVID. Do they need to do that for a blizzard storm? I kind of use caution when saying that the government needs to step in and close businesses down. Would that have been the right move here? 803-0930, star 930. Because a lot of people are pointing to an earlier travel ban. Again, as someone who was on the street at 1 in the afternoon on the 23rd when you couldn't see the traffic lights, Tops was packed an hour before they were closing. So how much would that have actually done? And what would you like to see done to better address the response? 803-0930, star 930. It's BMAZ and Beamer here on News Radio 930, WBEN. Joe Beamer all alone for another half hour after this. Hey, welcome back. BMAZ and Beamer, Joe Beamer with you. Brian off today talking about the investigations. This is the third one, but if you want to comment on what the three have in common, something that this stuck out to you, again, you can read it, WBEN.com, if you want to read the entire investigation. Mark Poloncar is pushing back on the communication thing, yet his words and actions during the blizzard, it doesn't speak like someone who's in constant communication with the mayor. Again, I can't say that he wasn't. I wasn't there. I don't work for his phone company. Okay, I can't tap his phone. I don't work for the federal government. But it doesn't sound like he would. It sounds like if you listen to the clips I played you during the blizzard, sounds to me as someone who is talking to the mayor using the podium. 803-0930, star 930. And I'd like to know, what would you do differently on the 23rd? What would you like to have seen done differently? And let's be honest, what did you do on the 23rd? What were you doing the morning of the 23rd before the blizzard came in? 803-0930, star 930. Bill has been very patient on a cell. Hey, Bill, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Joe. So the morning of, I remember, I went to early church, and because I knew that the storm was coming, and actually when church finished, it was starting to rain and turning instantly to ice, and then the wind started to come in like a fierce wind. So I was able to get out of there and get home safely, and that was it. Then I just stayed home because I knew it was coming. What I would have done differently, I thought, you know, for everybody, and I had this thought from the beginning, I would have said, you know, we've got this Amber Alert thing. This isn't really an Amber Alert, but this is like critical. We don't have any other way to contact people. I would have just put out an Amber Alert that would have said, this is not an Amber Alert, but this is a dangerous storm, so please don't go out.
Yeah, you know, those Amber Alerts, as I said last week, Bill, thank you for the call. As I said last week, those Amber Alerts could be in Pennsylvania and they wake you up. And again, nothing against Amber Alerts. Send them out, please. But if you're going to do that for an Amber Alert in Erie, Pennsylvania, I think that kind of attention-grabbing alert, I think should have been sent twice. I think it should have been sent the night before to let you know, hey, go get stuff. Go put stuff in your fridge. There is a chance you won't be able to get out of your house. So I would have sent one the night before, and I would have sent one, obviously, the morning of. Now, this idea of travel bans, and travel bans would have prevented people from driving. I understand the argument that travel bans would have forced business or would have had businesses close. That's also not completely true because Wegmans stayed open, I believe, until 11 or 12. Tops stayed open until 2. So you did still have businesses open in the driving ban. And like I said, I was at Tops 1 p.m. the 23rd. You couldn't see the parking lot, but the place was packed. Place was packed with people getting last minute items. So what would you have done? What would you have liked to have seen done differently? What would have forced you to do something differently? 803-0930, star 930 gets you on. Aaron was a first responder during the blizzard. Aaron, what are your thoughts when these investigations come out?
So I was a first responder down in the city of Buffalo during the storm. I would have liked to see maybe private business shut down like that day and not just blame like, well, the government just, you know, putting it on the government, but also blame private business. We rescued a lot of people during the blizzard, especially like the night of the 23rd, the 24th, rescuing and help sheltering people. And I wanted to comment when people were talking about like the state said, oh, we're going to call up the National Guard. The state called up the National Guard 3 days too late. They should have called it up. It takes about 72 hours to mobilize the National Guard to get them set up, to bring the troops in and get everything working. It takes 48 to 72 hours. And I really think like the state government, the county government and the city government, it's going to be Christmas weekend. We just all want to go and just relax. And I think maybe because we haven't had a storm like this since like the 70s, since the blizzard of 77, everybody just thought, nah, it'll be nothing. The meteorologist will just be wrong. That's what I'm thinking.
You know, I think a lot of people thought that, you know, Aaron, hey, it's 2 days before Christmas. I got this. Yeah, exactly. I got the stuff to get done. This is going to, because just like any storm, if the wind goes just right, it will go off course. But no, I think so. Now, Aaron, let me ask you, you were a first responder. You worked all through the blizzard. I mean, were there times and conditions that hindered and you had to maybe back off or wait to go out?
Yes. So I would, the first night, the Friday night, we went out, rescued some people, and then we had to suspend rescue operations till at least like the next morning around like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We had to suspend and wait till at least that like the sun would be up so we could see going from maybe 2 feet in front of you to maybe 6, 10, 15 feet in front of you because there was some light out you could kind of see between the large wind gusts.
Wow. Aaron, are you on the job right now?
Yep, I'm actually at work right now.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, thanks for that that insight on that and on the National Guard. Aaron in Buffalo worked during the blizzard, had the experience. Chris in Tonawanda. Chris, what was your experience on the 23rd?
On the 23rd, I was home because I have common sense. Yes, the meteorologists do screw up, and people do take it, you know, like, okay, it's going to be bad. Well, maybe it's not, but I have common sense, and a lot of people don't have that anymore.
We're now on the 22nd. Did you go out and get things for a potential, you know, 2-3 days being stuck at home?
Yes, because I remember the October storm, in Tonawanda where power went out. I lived through the blizzard of 77. I remember how that was. So
your past experience, you were like, I don't care if they're right or wrong. I'm going to be prepared.
Correct.
Yeah. No, for sure. Hey,
Chris, and my husband was even sent home from work early.
On the 23rd?
Because, correct.
What time was he sent home?
I want to say about 11:30.
Okay, so it had already started picking up.
Right, right. But we don't live far from where he works, so.
Okay.
Wasn't too bad. And it was daylight, so you can kind of see. But yeah, I didn't go anywhere.
Hey, Chris?
Stay at home, watch movies, you know.
glad to hear it, Chris in Tonawanda. And that's another question. And I do think, post this blizzard, and again, I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm not here to make it all one person's problem. I'm also not here for people running away from a real issue. All right, we lost almost 50 Western New Yorkers in this blizzard. I want to make sure that never happens again. And if that means that politicians have to admit that they were wrong, that they screwed up, that there is an issue between different factions of government, then someone needs to step up and say, you know what? I screwed up. Or, you know what? We need to work on this. I said this when I was in for Tom last week. I don't need the mayor and the county executive to be buddy-buddy, right? I don't need a friendship. I need someone who's going to communicate the information. I need someone who's going to constantly be calling and not using national television to make a point to someone who's right down the street. But I think what makes a good leader is someone who admits mistakes, admits when they screwed up. And that is very rare in 2023 to have a politician on the right or on the left who will admit a mistake, admit they screwed up, admit that there's an issue still ongoing. Like, we are in August. 4 months from now, we could be talking about another severe winter event. Right? We had two of them last year, remember? We had one that moved a Bills game to Detroit. So I don't want to hear the excuses. And I don't want to hear about I understand the equipment's important and that for a town that gets this kind of, or for a region that gets this kind of snow, we need more equipment. I understand that's important. But I want to hear about the things that can be fixed on a personnel level. I want to hear that address. And I want to hear that address by the people who were called out in the investigations. You know, I mean, you're 0 for 3 when it comes to communication on investigations. And I understand, you know, you don't want to. I understand that it's difficult to admit when you're the one in the wrong or part of the one in the wrong. You know, I'll go back to the Mark Poloncarz, Mayor Byron Brown. I don't think it's all Mark Poloncarz's fault. I'm sure Mayor Byron Brown probably also. I mean, he's 50% of the communication. They both need to work on communication. Something I've never really had an issue with. Sometimes people say I talk too much. And I over-communicate. But that's an issue that needs to be worked on. I don't want to hear people running away from it or not addressing it. Again, the county executive didn't address the USA Today investigation until he was asked by Tom Puckett about it. And that's fine. That's on him. I can't call him out for not addressing that and then say, well, this is nothing. No, he addressed this the day it was released. And this was obviously released at a time where they didn't want anyone to see it, because why else would you release something on Friday night? The only thing that happened after this investigation was released is, you know, five schools left the Pac-12. that's the only thing that happened later than this investigation being released. But what would you like to see differently? And what would you like to see differently about these reactions? Again, I'd like to see a leader that steps up and say, yeah, we screwed up. You know what? The equipment's an issue, but we didn't do the best with what we had. Because that's what the investigation seemed to be saying. But it's deflect, deflect, deflect. No, that never really happened. Deny, deny, deny. And then December rolls around, another blizzard moves in, and we're exactly where we were a year ago. That's a waste of three investigations. Let's go to Joyce and Elma. Joyce, what would you like to see done?
Yeah, good morning, Joe. We have an emergency broadcast system that they test all the time. Why wasn't that used?
That is, Joyce, the question of the year. Because let me take you behind the scenes of the EBS. We test it. Obviously, we initiate the test. But that's just to display that the people who have control of it, which I believe is a faction of our government, can take over. I mean, the whole thing about the EBS is not something we initiate. That is something that nationally, statewide, locally, they can take over and send the alert. And Joyce, I don't know why we test it. I mean, I know why we test it, because I don't ever remember the EBS being used. And December 23rd would have been a great time, because it would have taken over every radio, TV station in Western New York, and we didn't use it.
Right. Andy Parker was warning of this, like, well in advance. I mean, you know, I know they blow smoke a lot of times when there's a storm coming, but this was definitely predicted to be really bad. I think something should have been said, you know, a heck of a lot earlier.
100%. 100%, Joyce. But the EBS is something that, let me tell you right now, I wish I had the answer. We work here. I went to college for this. I wish we had the answer of why that wasn't used. We test it every week to make sure that it's up and running. It definitely should have been used, and I don't know who to point the finger at, because I don't know who actually is in charge of taking that over. I don't know what level that is that goes to. So that's something we probably should get the answer to. 803-0930-930. It's another investigation, and just as everything else in politics and in 2023, it's runaway, it's make an excuse, it's no, this didn't really happen, and we'll see if we get the real answers. We'll see if anything changes. Again, new equipment's nice. New equipment's very important. Don't get me wrong. But if communication is still an issue in December of 23, I don't care how much new equipment you have. If you're not talking from the county to the towns, from the state to the county to the towns, from the federal government to the state, from the federal government to the towns, I don't know what good the equipment's going to be. Someone needs to be in charge of that, and someone needs to be able to communicate one way or another and not just yell at a camera while snow's falling down. But We'll see what happens. Again, that's the investigation. If you want to read it, WBEN.com, there's a nice summary of it, or you can read the entire 49-page document on our website, WBEN.com. Before I get out of here, and I know this is going to get a lot of people groaning, and I'm sorry, but you know I got to do it, Tanner. You know I got to do it. What a weekend for college sports. Can you believe the conference realignment that we are seeing in college sports? Now, this all happened when Texas and Oklahoma said they were going to the SEC, right? This happened a few years ago. Texas and Oklahoma were going to the SEC. Then UCLA and USC were going to the Big Ten, all right? And Big 12 said, well, we're not going to crumble that easy. We're going to get BYU, Cincinnati, and Central Florida to come on over to the Big 12. And we thought maybe, okay, that's it. Conference realignment seems to be done now, right? Then about 3 weeks ago, there was this surprising move. Colorado, who had left the Big 12 to go to the Pac-12, was leaving the Pac-12 to go back to the Big 12. Well, this is surprising. Why is Colorado going back to the Big 12? And then, like an avalanche, things happened in about 3 days. Now, remember, when UCLA and USC left last year, there was rumors that the Big Ten would go and take a few more West Coast teams. Well, they did that. They took Oregon and Washington. And then the Big 12 said, well, we're not going to stop. We're going to take Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State. So now the Pac-12 is the Pac-4. Oregon State, Stanford, Cal, and Washington State. So after this year, those are the only four schools remaining in the Pac-12. Conference realignment, I don't think it's what's best for college sports. It's obviously all about money and TV deals. The Pac-12 did not have a good TV deal. The problem is now, as a Virginia Tech fan, and I know there's a lot of Syracuse fans out there, the ACC has a pretty awful TV deal as well. Is the ACC the next conference to crumble? But it is so funny how in 12 months, the outlook looked differently, right? Last year, the Big 12 looked to be the big loser. When Texas and Oklahoma left the Big 12, it looked as if the Big 12 was going to have some serious issues being competitive. Well, that's no longer an issue. They've added Colorado, Utah, who's won the Pac-12 several times, Arizona and Arizona State. It's wild. The Pac-12 seems to be on life support. And if I'm a school in the American or in the Mountain West, I don't know why I even consider going to the Pac-12. I will stay in the Mountain West. I would stay in the American. I would not leave either of those conferences to go to a conference that's hanging on to four schools right now. But it's very interesting. Oh, what a weekend. As a college sports fan, I was glued. I was refreshing Twitter every 10 seconds. Or X is what it's called now. And we'll see. I don't think it's the end of conference realignment. And like I said last week, you're going to say, Joe, this is a Buffalo radio station. Why are you talking about this? Well, UB has out-of-conference games scheduled against Big Ten schools and SEC schools. And those games bring a lot of money into the program. With conference realignment and adding these schools, that's going to get rid of an out-of-conference game, at least. So UB could be without needing to make a few schedule changes with those Big Ten games in the future. So it does loosely have a local impact on our D1 college team, the University of Buffalo Bulls. So, something to keep an eye out on. It's very interesting. Changing every day, and the rumors are swirling. And with that, I will say have a great Monday, a great kickoff to your week. Thank you so much for the calls and the texts. David Bellavia is up next. He has 4 hours of entertaining and intriguing talk. So stay tuned for that after the news with Lucas on WBEN.